So I want to start by asking you a question, and you might want to shout out your answers if you like. That will be fine, that would be very welcome. So if you could pick one person that you would like to meet, who would that person be? Who's the person that you would really love to meet? Anyone got a thought? If you could just meet that one. I think, to be honest, I think it could be fine. I've asked this question at another church, and it says something about the profile of the people who were there, perhaps, that some of the people they shouted out were fictional characters. So, but yes, anybody, any period of history, I think, any a real-life person, anywhere from the world, you know, it's like if you could be that miracle of chance to meet. Anybody? Yes?
My granddaughter.
Oh gosh, yes. My granddaughter who lives in Indonesia that I haven't yet been able to meet. Yeah, that's really, yeah, I'm really cross. And Pauline?
Helen Keller.
Helen Keller. Yeah. Because?
Because she was born with so little, no sight, no hearing, and yet she went on and became a wonderful preacher of Jesus.
Yeah, yes, Helen Keller for... somebody who started with perhaps everything against her, with no sight, and was able to go on and become such a wonderful preacher of Jesus. Yeah. Anybody else got any?
I'd like to see Moses.
You'd like to see Moses, right?
Do you want? So much as he had such a varied life all the way through, and he's seen so much. I think it must be.
Interesting person to talk to, yes. Moses for his highly varied life, yes. And boy, sorry, Moses, yes, yes.
Any? I'd have a little time back with my mum and my dad,
yeah.
So they could see our grandchildren.
Oh yes, yeah. That must be, yeah. Yes, chance to see your parents. I guess they're not with us anymore. No, so for them to see their grandchildren, that would be very special. Yes. It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a story that might sound a bit of a confession, to be honest. It happened to me 2 weeks ago now, beginning of last week. I'd heard a rumour that our new senior boss was going to be in our local office. He's not usually there, but he was going to be there. And there was a kind of a hint that it would be good to be seen. And I fell foul of this. And like an idiot... I made the effort to get myself all... I work at home a lot, but I do work in the office sometimes. I got myself all dressed up, ready to, well, not dazzle, but impress anyway, look like I was somebody. And I went into the office, and you can guess what happened. Not a sign of him. What a waste of time, eh? Made me think about where my priorities stand. But yeah, you've all shared some lovely people who you'd love to meet for really super reasons. Well done. Because when we meet somebody like that, it makes a difference, doesn't it? What difference would it make? I think each of you, I asked the question why, and you all shared that in some form. We're going to come back to that transformation, that change that happens a bit later, and think about that in a different context. So today we're talking about that chap that lots of us who sung choruses in the 60s would refer to as that very little man. I haven't imposed that on you, but you know, Zacchaeus, he was short, and I can relate to that, and you will have noticed how much shorter I am than Paul as the microphone has gone up and down this morning. So Zacchaeus gave up all of his dignity, all of his smartness, and he put himself at risk, and he climbed up that sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He was so enraptured, encouraged to see that he was willing to go and do that really quite daft thing and climb up a tree. Imagine what he must have looked like peering down through the branches. So he was a tax collector and he was unpopular. That shouted out loud, didn't it, in the video and in the reading. Tax collectors were hated by the Jewish people because they worked for the Roman authorities who were occupying their country. and they mixed with them and they did their work. And so they were not liked for that. And then over and above that, tax collectors had a reputation for fraud, for taking more than the person owed and pocketing the difference. So they became very, very rich. And on the video we saw him, you know, counting his money and with all of his finery and jewellery on. They were very rich, but they were hated. And we know how unpopular they were, because Jesus, the kind of thing that people used to criticise him was to say he mixed with tax collectors and sinners. They were kind of all of a one in the people's minds. So let's just see the Bible context for this story a moment. Jesus is on his way for his final journey to Jerusalem. He'd started up in Galilee, which is up north, and he was travelling down to Jerusalem, and this is going to find its the journey's end in the crucifixion and the resurrection. And the story, the way that Luke uses is he tells a lot of teaching and a lot of events that happened on that journey, and so it's extended over several chapters. So back in chapter 17, Jesus is on his way. He's on the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he heals 10 men who had leprosy. One of them we know was a Samaritan, and he's the one who goes back to thank Jesus. So those 10 lepers are all healed. That's the transformation clue for them. But that one Samaritan is the one who gets Jesus' special blessing because he goes back. And then there's extended periods of teaching where Jesus warns his disciples. He tries to get them ready for what's going to happen by talking about the way he's going to have to suffer and to die. And he promises them that he will rise again. He prepares them so that they will start to understand that it's not all just going awry and going wrong as these events occur, even if that might have been how they felt at the time. He tries to get them ready to help them to see what's coming, and later they can look back and make those connections. And then people bring their children to Jesus because they want him to bless them. And you remember that he welcomes the children and he talks about how important it is for them to be in the kingdom. And I wonder how difference that made to the children and to their parents. And then as they approach Jericho, a blind beggar calls out to Jesus and he's healed. He's given his sight, so he's able to go out and to take his part in society. And then we get to the bit of the journey which we heard this morning. Jesus and his disciples and a great crowd of people are going into Jericho, and they're just going to walk straight through the city. That was apparently the plan when they set off. And that's the point at which Jesus stops and calls Zacchaeus down to meet him and to spend time together and to make that big difference. So let's just see the story through towards the end. They're now about 18 miles from Jerusalem, and it's going to be a downhill journey through a really rough desert through there. They've got hard walking to do through those last days leading into Jerusalem. But as we said, there's a crowd, and Zacchaeus can't see. So he's up in this tree when Jesus calls him down. And notice there's two reactions to Jesus stopping and talking. Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus gladly. The crowds are not so happy, and they mutter. That's a very evocative word, isn't it? They mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. That's their grumbling, and it's part of the signs of the crowd starting to turn against Jesus. I'm really struck when I read this by the calm way that Jesus interacts with those people that he's met. You know, he's on a journey to a point, to perhaps the most important point in history, his crucifixion. He's on that, and he's focused on it. And yet, he has time to stop at each moment and to interact with these individual people and to make a difference to them as individuals. And there's no sense of, oh, just a quick word and I've got to be going. I don't know about you, but I spend my life feeling like I do that. I spend so much of my life feeling like I'm in a hurry or torn between doing the thing that I meant to do when I started the day and the thing that's kind of distracted me or that's come up during the day. And I, you know, I say to people, I'll call you back in a moment. And I try to, but I don't always. Or I say, oh, I'll speak to you again a bit later. Or my children don't quite, you know, they ring me and I say, oh, can I call you back? Jesus never seems to have that. He's always got time for the person, for each individual person. And that says something about the way that he valued each individual and could give them that undivided attention. And of course, the people that we were thinking about are not people who were valued highly in society. They were people who would not have got much of somebody's attention. They were lepers who were flung out of society. They were children who were just there to kind of get in the way. They were tax collectors who were hated. Those were the people who Jesus took time to be with and to make a difference to. So what difference did it make for Zacchaeus when he met Jesus? Well, he moves from that greed and meanness to a place of generosity and honesty and a transformation. Less wealthy in monetary terms, but so much wealthier spiritually. And I kind of wonder, where did his life go from there on? So that was 2,000 years ago. And I want us to turn now to modern times, to today, and to think about what it's like for us to meet Jesus now in 2023. Perhaps not quite like meeting Jesus like we meet each other. But it can mean so many things, can't it? And I think it can be grasped in all sorts of different ways. It might be a sense of God being close to us in a moment. It might be a challenge to say something or do something or not to say or do something. It might be result in a confidence to step out and do something that's outside our comfort zone. We might be in church at that moment we meet Jesus, and the line of a song grasps us, grips us suddenly. We might be outside in the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset, and they've been fantastic over the last few days, haven't they? And that might be the moment at which we think, God, what an amazing creator you are. It might be when we see somebody who's in need. And we're reminded, you know, Jesus prompts us in our head that when we do something for them, we're doing something for him and we meet him in that person. So it might be something that's spiritual and special, or it might be really very ordinary and very normal and more a sense of us being nudged or guided to do something in a moment. Can you identify some of those moments in your life when you feel like you've met with Jesus in some way? We're going to come back to that thought a bit later, but you might want to start pondering that. Because we're going to see a video now of some young people in America who were transformed by meeting Jesus. It's called Cardboard Testimonies. I don't know whether you've ever come across this concept before. There's all sorts of them on the internet. You can have lots of fun looking later if you like. But these were some people. So they've got a piece of cardboard, and on one side of the cardboard, they write what it's like was like for them before they met Jesus. And then on the other side, they write what it's like when they're transformed. So we see that now, please. Would that be okay? Thank you. So I hope you get the sign. It wasn't always easy to read, was it? Sorry about that. So what difference does it make to meet Jesus? What difference has it made for me and for you when we have been aware that we meet Jesus? I think that's a really important question to think about. And it was one that took me some, need to give this some thought. And I think there are some things which go back to, you know, my teenage years when I first decided to follow Jesus. There are some in my earlier in my working life when actually I decided to stay in a job that I was contemplating leaving because I suddenly knew that that was what God had in mind for me. There have been times when it's helped me to put my worry to one side and to trust. And there have been times when it's helped me to stop being so self-centered and to focus on what's really important in the world. And some days it just gives me the strength to keep doing the next thing that comes up with a sense of joy and thankfulness. So I haven't given us all a great big piece of card like that, but I hope that this can kind of be applied to the same idea. And of course, this is entirely up to you, but I wonder whether you might find it helpful to kind of create your own mini cardboard testimony. I won't be asking you to share them, but if you want to share with other people, that would be fine. But the idea is that you write on one side of the card what you think it was like before that meeting with Jesus, and then on the other side, how it changed, what was different. You might like to do that. That's what I'm encouraging, inviting you to do. If you don't want to write, that's fine. I find it really helpful to put something down on paper. I don't know, it's kind of turns it from something that's a bit ethereal to something that's more substantial, but that's your choice. But if you just feel that you'd like to write a prayer or you'd like to write something else, that's absolutely fine. So we'll have a few moments now when we just stop, pray, think, and if we'd like to write our thoughts onto our card. So let's just have a moment. Yeah, we all need our glasses, don't we, as well? So what difference did it make to meet Jesus? On perhaps one of the occasions or many of the occasions when you've known that you're face to face with him. So you're welcome, of course, to continue to do that if you wish. But we'll come to our next song now, if you like. And we might like to sing this sitting down, I think. I think that would be appropriate, wouldn't it? Although I guess the music group will come and stand at the front and lead us. So we're going to sing All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon.